Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
Hello. What's going on? It's your girl, Karina Reichman, coming at you from Palm Springs, California, and just delighted to be connected via the wonders of the telephone with my main man holding it down in NYC, Isaac Sloan. Isaac, how's it going, pal? What's going on?
Karina, it's great to catch up with you. I love thinking of you in Palm Springs, touring the West Coast with Marco Benevento. It's just a fantastic thing to imagine and take in through your anecdotes and your photos.
I love it. I love it. It's great. It's been, we just played one show so far, but man, we got a whole lot more to go. And we played Pappy and Harriet's out in Joshua Tree last night. And gotta say, I mean, what a locale for a show. It's just beautiful. I do love the desert as a thing. You know what I mean? I definitely like the ocean more. But I got love for the desert, man. I think I just like sand. But that was great. I'm playing San Diego tonight at the Casbah. And then tomorrow, which is Thursday, the day this podcast comes out, will be the Terragram Ballroom in good old Los Angeles, California. So hope to see everyone there. And then it's, you know, got a lot going on. Santa Cruz. We've got San Francisco, we've got Sonoma, and then boom, up to the Pacific to the Pacific Northwest with Marco Benevento. So yeah, please, if you're on the West Coast and you are ready to go, we're ready to give it to you. So come to a show. Hope to see you somewhere, you know, out along this great coast. It's been great so far. It's been very luxurious so far because we've gotten to stay, two nights in the same place, basically, which doesn't happen often when you're on the road. But more on that later. More on that later. Everything is swell in my world. Everything's swell in your world, Isaac?
You know, Karina, I'm holding it down in New York. Things are really good. I have
good.
To say, things
we love
feel
it.
Really good. Thank you for
that
asking.
That is exactly it. Of course, dude. Who would I be if I didn't ask? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Sick, dude. Well, so much is happening. So much just keeps on coming. But our boy, the main man himself, Bob Weir and the Wolf Bros, they just did a four-night run at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. with the National Symphony Orchestra. Like, what is going on with it? It looked so cool. Nothing like seeing Bobby in a suit. Not going to lie to you. Isaac, what do you make of this? This is some wild stuff.
Well, it's really cool. You know, I think this kind of snuck up on me, in terms of seeing, as you said, pictures of our main man Bob Weir in a tuxedo, you know, at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. I know these shows were rescheduled, and it's kind of been a long time coming in another sense. But just seeing some clips of Bobby playing with the National Symphony Orchestra behind him, I mean, it's just, I've always thought it was cool how the Grateful Dead's music has a symphonic element to it. And, you know, you and I saw Warren Haynes do his take on that, playing with local orchestras. We saw that in Central Park, and I thought that was spectacular. But, you know, the man himself, Bob Weir, with his Wolf Bros and the Wolf Pack, collaborating with all of these beautiful orchestral instruments. It was quite a sort of sound to behold.
It's so cool, and I do agree, and of course I loved the Warren Haynes symphonic celebration of the Grateful Dead music that we saw, and the Grateful Dead music itself just lends itself so well to that instrumentation, I find. It's so thick and lush with so many disparate parts going on and everything. It's pretty pretty amazing thing to behold, and obviously they took no prisoners here in Washington, D.C. They played just about everything you'd want to hear. Oh my God, over the course of these nights, it just kept on going. So very, very cool. And of course, it's really fun that the orchestra starts without them playing the overture, and then they come out and rip Grateful Dead music. I mean, sounds great to me. And it's a 96-member orchestra. 96.
Yeah, no, that's pretty expansive. And also just like, you know, electric instruments meeting acoustic instruments in a theater context that is really designed for classical music. I went to an opera there once. You know, it's rare that I really feel like I want to hear from the musician about the experience that they just went through, because usually it's like, you know, how are you supposed to capture that? And, you know, I don't want to bother Bob Weir and say, hey, Bob, you know, tell me about playing with this, you know, a National Symphony Orchestra. But in this instance, I kind of want the deets about what it was like to be in that room and like rehearsals and like, I don't know, mixing the sound such that all of the different components, the Wolf Bros and the orchestra, you know, working in tandem, selecting the songs. Like, I'm just curious a little bit about how this all came together.
No kidding. And how they pulled it off, you know, again, that many people in an orchestra. I know that's not unheard of at all for, you know, orchestral bands and whatever. It's just so beyond the realm of comprehension for my small brain, you know? I'm just like, that's so many people to get to play in unison and in harmony with one another. It's just an incredible feat. So bless these guys. Can't even imagine. I mean, it's an incredible thing. And man, I mean, on Saturday, set one, right, we have Overture followed by China Cat, I Know You Rider, of course, Row Jimmy, the other one, Morning Dew. And then second set, we got Playing in the Band, Lost Sailor, Saint of Circumstance, Wharf Rat, Shakedown, Sugar Mag, and Sunshine Daydream, and then just the Wolf Brothers. They did Ripple and One More Saturday Night. That sounds fantastic. And then the next day, I'm just doing the weekend shows because there were, you know, the other ones were last week. It's just so far away. But on Sunday, we have Playing in the Band. Sorry, Sunday. I don't know if I said that. Playing in the Band, Uncle John's Band, Dark Star, Jack Straw, Morning Dew. Great on paper. Wow. And then the second set, we have the other one, Shakedown, Days Between. And then they reprised Dark Star, Uncle John's Band, Playing in the Band, and then Broke Down Palace. And then at the very end, just the Wolf Bros did the Terrapin Station Suite. Wow. I mean, I wish we could have been there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a real feast for anyone who likes music, but particularly fans of the Grateful Dead. And, you know, I myself, a fan of what Bob Weir does anywhere.
Especially on that tip, you know, there's been this great photograph of Bobby and Pete Shapiro in their tuxedos eating cake Theoretically after the performance. And man, talk about being a fan of anything Bob Weir does anywhere, because that photo of him eating the cake, that took the cake for me. I'm such a fan of that photograph. Really good stuff.
It's interesting. Like, I don't know. I just think about people that I know who, you know, saw the Dead in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I think there was for a long time a sort of rift between people who were just so hardcore about Jerry Garcia and people who embraced Bob Weir. And now, I mean, obviously we don't know what Jerry would be up to, but Bob and his care for this music and what he's gone on to do with it, it just really further cements him as an artist with such an illustrious career. And it's kind of amazing that he's gotten all of the chapters in that he has been able to get. And, you know, it's like you say, then you just see a picture of him eating cake and it's like, oh my God, it's that guy.
It's like he's just tenaciously going for it.
Yeah,
year
exactly.
After year, project after project, just tearing it up into his older age. And it's just like, may we all be so lucky and may we all be so tenacious, you know? It's an incredible, incredible thing to be able to be alive in the time of him and all of, you know, the post-GD members that have made it on and are continuing the legacy of the music and the tradition of the music. And it's just, people are, you know, so fervent about it, as we are and as so many continue to be. And it's just, you know, keep it going in all these different forms and the people will follow, and we are. Speaking of a man who has really just, you know, sunk his teeth into that music and his own and so many things, he's ubiquitously on the scene, talented beyond compare, one of my favorites. We have Mr. Warren Haynes bringing back Christmas Jam, Isaac. This is really hot goss, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have not only had the pleasure of attending a Christmas Jam, but you got to play the first Christmas Jam you were at a couple of years ago now, right?
Correct. It was 2018, believe it or not, which just seems like, you know, really yesteryear. But I remember us being in high school one year, Isaac, and they dropped a Christmas Jam lineup that at the time seemed so awesome to us. And of course, I don't remember what it was, but I remember us both looking at it being like, oh my God, like, how do we go? But the idea of going to Asheville, North Carolina, like, it just wasn't in the cards or feasible or, you know, anything. But I remember being absolutely awestruck with you about a Christmas Jam lineup in like 2010 or something. So definitely been a long observer. And, you know, I'll say it right now, before I even had heard a note of Phish, I was a young 12, 13-year-old Government Mule fan. I'll tell you right now, I found out about Government Mule early on somehow, and it really did it for me. And Warren Haynes, I definitely cited as, if not my favorite guitar player, like one of my favorite guitar players for a very long time there. And I just have nothing but admiration for him, his work ethic, his ridiculous skill set. And I got to play Christmas Jam with Marco Benevento in 2018. And that year was stacked. Dave Grohl was there. And Mike Gordon, obviously us, obviously Government Mule. They did Dark Side of the Mule, I believe. Grace Potter was there. It was super, super fun. Honestly, I really think that was one of the better and more fun shows I've ever done. And of course, it's in an arena, which is a trip to be performing in an arena if you're me, or probably if you're anyone. So that was just such a blast. And obviously, it's taken a few years off, pandemic related and whatnot. And now here we are. We're back at the Harrah's Cherokee Center, December 10th. Of this year. Boom. It's in Asheville, North Carolina, as it always is. And Isaac, would you like me to read the lineup for the people? Or
Please
would you
do.
Like to read the lineup for the people? All right,
Why
check
don't
it
you
out.
Go for it?
I'm going for it. Number one, Phil Lesh and Friends, featuring Warren Haynes, John Scofield, John Medeski, and John Molo. I mean, yes, please, is all
that
I can say about
that. That is a great configuration of Phil Lesh and Friends.
I mean, we have Warren and Scofield, I'm like, everything about that, I love. I really love it. We have Tyler Childers, Government Mule, Beth Hart, Brothers Osborne, and Dinosaur Jr., with special guests, His Golden Messenger, Solo, Audley Freed, Scott Metzger, Katie Jacoby, Mike Barnes, and more. And, I mean, obviously we have a lot to say about this, but I think we'd be remiss to you know, not mention Scott Metzger and specifically Katie Jacoby. I mean, these are very close friends of ours, and Katie and us, I mean, we've been friends for so many years. She, for those who don't know, she is an illustrious violinist, and she has joined The Who. Yeah, literally The Who in the last few years, which has been an absolute dream to watch, let alone to be her flying around and playing with Roger Daltrey's band also, and, you know, doing the most incredible, illustrious gigs. And we couldn't be happier for her and prouder of her. And it's been an amazing thing to see. And of course, I remember, you know, her sitting in with J-Rad many years ago at this point. It's probably like 2015 when she first sat in, and she fell in love with Scott Metzger on the spot, and it was it's been an amazing journey. They're married now, absolutely incredible, and it's just so cool to see her and Scott, of course, but really Katie. I mean, that's my girl. That is my home girl. Like, you know, she played in Phil Lesh and Friends over the summer as well, which is absolutely incredible, and it's just amazing to watch it all happen. So go Katie. Number one, go Katie.
She also happens to be an amazing individual, like just the best ever.
Oh, dude. I mean, she is the funniest and most loving, wonderful human. We literally love you, Katie. Where are you at, girl? I know where you're at. You're on tour with The Who. But after that, we're going to kick it. And it's an amazing thing. So if you're not hip to Katie Jacoby, go follow her on all of the things. She is spectacular and you won't regret it. But otherwise, I mean, Isaac, to see Dino Jr. on this lineup really got me revved up in ways that I wasn't expecting to be revved up in.
Well, I understand why. I mean, Dinosaur Jr. is a prolific, amazing band, an incredible live act. Seeing them in this context, which leans a little bit more in the improvisational Grateful Dead realm of things is very, very exciting. And the potential of Jay Maskus and Warren Haynes trading licks at the beginning and the end of the night, that's just...
I just got chills.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what you want to see, you know.
No kidding. And again, Jay Maskus, you know, one of the most underrated guitar players on the planet, and Dino Jr. as such, you know, a three-piece beyond the sum of their parts. Talk about, like, the loudest band on the planet with, you know, more amps on stage than, you know, I can't even tell you. It's absolutely like watching a bomb self-destruct when you go and watch them play in the best way. I'm such a huge fan of the band and their output, and it's just amazing to see them on this lineup. And to me, that's like, you know, the diamond in the rough here, you know. I'm like, holy shit, Dino Jr.'s on it. And of course, everything else is going to be spectacular too. But very excited for everyone taking in Christmas Jam this year. The pre-sale is Friday the 14th at 10 a.m. and the public on sale is the following Friday, October 21st at 10 a.m. And again, the date is December 10th, 2022 at Harrah's Cherokee Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And let me shout out Asheville, North Carolina for a second. That town fucking rules. And if you're not hip, you should go take a trip. And check this out. Great stuff. Great stuff. Isaac, do you have any further thoughts on the subject, or should we move right along?
You know, I think we can move right along. I think there will be more on Christmas Jam after it happens.
I think you're so right. I think you're so right. Great event, and go Warren is all I can say. Warren, you hold such a special place in my heart. It's an honor to know you at this point. And when I was 12 years old and never thought that we would know each other, I was such a fan at the Government Mule shows, and now it's just amazing to you know, behold everything he's up to and continue on in his own legacy and in carving his path forward. It's a beautiful thing. But Isaac, our third subject of the day is a little, I would say, somber. I would say disconcerting. I would say real. And
very real was the word I was thinking, actually. Real.
Absolutely. It's let's get real, and let's, you know, not pussyfoot around the subject here, you know. And it's kind of, we're going to talk about, you know, just the real harsh realities of being a touring musician these days. And this is sort of spurred by, you know, a number of announcements and, you know, kind of open letters that a few bands have kind of put forth recently on social media, kind of canceling tours and explaining why. And the big one came from one of my favorite bands, Animal Collective, earlier this week. And Animal Collective basically detailed how, you know, they had to cancel their European tour coming up because of the innumerable harsh realities facing them financially if they were going to go through with it. And these are really very strange and difficult times to be a touring musician or a recording artist in general. That's number one. And of course, here I am, you know, a pipsqueak at the beginning of my career, seeing a band like Animal Collective not be able to pull off their shows. And it's terrifying. It's unsettling. It's not a good feeling, you know? And of course, things have been just devalued and, you know, decommodified in such a way in the music industry, meaning, you know, streaming has just flipped everything on its ass, you know? So now people aren't buying records, and what they can do is buy concert tickets, but you're looking at COVID realities. You're looking at the cost of gas, the price of hotels, bands getting paid very little to perform, everything getting split a million ways, you know, depending on how big the band is. And then, of course, what you don't see, you know, manager takes a percentage, agents take a percentage, like all of this stuff. And it just boils down to very, very little once everyone's had their cut. And if things aren't laid out such that they're fiscally possible, it's not fucking possible, you know? And basically, I really respect and appreciate bands like Animal Collective that have kind of come out and just, you know, set the record straight about how, like, of course, you know, there's sort of this, like, rock and roll ethos of, like, fuck it, man. Like, we'll sleep in the van, we'll eat dirt, it doesn't even matter, anything to make the show happen. But at the end of the day, if you are destitute because of it, you know, and you just can't make it happen for any of these very, very reasonable reasons, of course you can't make it happen, you know? And it's been a wild thing to, you know, kind of see. And it's just the harsh realities of it are kind of crashing down upon us. And a lot of artists are speaking out about how difficult it really is. And let me tell you, it really is.
Yeah, no, I mean, real is the word that came to mind because, like you said, there can be this sort of ethos and also image, I think, about success and also braving it or roughing it out on tour. And part of what's so interesting about the artists who come forward is a sort of demystifying and getting into the details and saying, look, you know, the getting out on the road is a crucial part, and following the passion of it, and you know, all of that is obviously integral and so important and something that we all care about as musicians, as fans and family and you know, beyond. And also, there are these realities about it that are, I don't know, I think easy to kind of, I don't know, not know about or you know, not face until you necessarily have to or you know, there's more awareness about it.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, it is such a big part of this, you know, is like earning your stripes, right? And just like getting out on the road and playing to nobody for years and years until, you know, that's like where the word of mouth comes from about your band, right? You're playing and maybe you're playing to 20 people the first time through a town, but you turn those 20 people into fans for life, and then they tell 20 people, and then next thing you know, you've heard all of these stories about how you have to do that when you're first starting out and all these things. But it's a really real thing when, you know, the costs of doing so are innumerable on your psyche, your non-existent checkbook, you know what I mean? Like, things just can get depleted. And at what point do you wipe your hands clean and just say, hey, listen, I just, you know, the toll it would take on us to go through with these shows, as Animal Collective said, you know, they were basically like, you know, a lot of them, you know, had to cancel a bunch of shows earlier this year because they got COVID and blah, blah, blah. And the financial hit that kind of, you know, gave the band, and, you know, they were counting on that income, it set them back in a huge way. And they were trying to get to Europe, and, you know, the shipping costs of like shipping merch there and of course plane tickets and all of these things, it just, they were staring down, you know, the barrel of a gun that was not looking so good, you know. And it's, I think it's a valiant thing to come clean and to just say like, hey, look, you know, this was not going to be feasible for us, and we're sorry, because, you know, all we all want to do is just play. We want to play. We want to spread the vibes of the music, you know. And when you can't, you just can't. And it's heartbreaking and it's super difficult. And there is another artist that came out recently, Santi Gold, who we loved, you know, back in the day and continue to love. And she continues to make incredible music. But she came out with this whole statement canceling her tour. And it went very viral and was sort of, you know, the thing that everybody was posting about for a bit there. And I feel like I should read this quote from Santi Gold, because it was poignant, very well written. She says, "I want to tell you that for me, it has taken a toll. Through anxiety, insomnia, fatigue, vertigo, chronic pain, and missing crucial time with my children," she continued. "In the place that I'm in the place that the music business is in, it feels like I've been hanging on, trying to make it to the ever-distant finish line, but my vehicle's been falling apart the whole time. The bumper fell off, the wheels one at a time, the steering wheel, and finally the whole bottom fell out. And here I am thinking, should I just hold the doors up and run? And my little heart that has been working way beyond its limits, my whole body, in fact, and my soul too, are screaming at me." And I think that's a very eloquently put way of saying it's just not easy. And sometimes, you know, you just have to say, and for what? You know, you got to take care of yourself first, because if you're not in a good way, no one at your shows is going to be in a good way, and it's just not sustainable. So that was a poignant quote, and she canceled the tour, and also kind of echoed the sort of sentiment of the economics of it just being all awry and not adding up. And of course, now everyone and their sister is on tour, which is such a beautiful thing, but it also makes it a very competitive market, and people are, you know, spending their money in selective ways, as they should, myself included, you know. And it's not, you know, you can't go to four shows a night, even if you wanted to, you know. And, you know, basically, it's us here at Inappropriate Happiness saying, my God, like, you know, we salute everyone for trying to make this work in any way, shape, or form that they can. But listen, when you can't, you just can't. And number one is health and feeling well. you know, and well enough to be committed to your craft and be able to do it in a sustainable way. And man, I mean, if you can't, you really can't. So, I mean, I'm all for people being transparent about the realities out there. And I'll tell you guys right now, I lost an absolute crazy amount of money earlier this year, you know, opening for a band where you, when you open, again, these economics are super flawed. When you open, for the most part, you're getting paid dirt money. And, you know, you have to pay for hotel rooms every night and you have to split that amongst, you know, or, you know, you have to pay your band and you have to pay for gas and figure out everything. And, you know, if you're me, you're renting a van. Like, it's not sustainable. It's not a model that can go on. So things need to change in so many ways. I don't know where to start. I'm not an economist, but man, it's crazy out there. And I salute everyone trying to make it work. And I salute everyone hanging it up for however long they need to. And it's not easy out there, but cheers to all touring musicians trying to get it out there and just trying to play and trying to spread that joy, because we really need it. But man, we know it comes at a cost. So thank you. That's my soapbox speech.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have anything to add other than it just felt like a complete no-brainer to address this on the podcast, and wanted to talk with you about it after seeing the Animal Collective announcement, and also to send my support out there to anyone on the road, anyone who is making music and making it go however they are. Because, yeah, I mean, it's I just total in awe and at a loss for words for, you know, how hard it is and how much people are working to make it possible.
It's a wild thing. It's a wild thing. And as we know, and everybody listening, you know, this deep in the podcast knows, this is quite literally like what we live for. It's what it's so important to us to go see live music and have this whole thing sustain itself, you know? And like, you know, the whole conception of this podcast is to spread that joy that you get from seeing this live music and, you know, just music in general. So we take this not lightly, and we hope you don't either. And, you know, for what it's worth, merch is important. Buying tickets early is important. All of these things, you know, if you love a band, support the band. It's not easy out there. So cheers to all. Isaac, I mean, shit, this brings us maybe to the end of our road. I mean, what the ever-loving fuck, my friend.
You got a show to play tonight.
I do, because I am one of the rogue warriors of the road, braving it out here. No, I kid. I sort of kid. But yes, I am playing tonight in San Diego at the Casbah with Mr. Marco Benevento. By the time this podcast comes out, the show will have been played already. So let's just say Thursday, October 13th, I will be playing the Terragram Ballroom in Los Angeles, California. And I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to this whole run with Marco. It's really been a blast so far, though it has just begun. And I know by the time we talk next week, I will be worn hard and put away with. And, you know, I will have seen some shit, and I am always so delighted to get to play and, you know, take it not for granted a day in my life that I get to do this in any shape or form, to 10 people, to 1,000 people, whatever it is. I'm thrilled to get to play music. Anytime I could be on stage is just the biggest blessing. So thank God for trying to make it work out here. And for the record, come see my tour in December, Northeast. Buy yourself a ticket. Can't wait. These harsh realities are ready to go. Isaac's gonna be there. It's gonna be hot. Super stoked. And thank you all for listening this week, guys. This podcast is brought to you by our main man RJB from the Osiris Media Network. And we are delighted to, he actually last week on Twitter has accepted our threat/invite to take him to dinner. So we can't wait. for that. And it's going to be a blast. And we thank every one of you for listening to the podcast. And we thank Osiris for making it all possible and getting it out to your ear holes week after week. And Isaac, I look forward to making it rain with you sonically next week, my friend.
Likewise, have a great show tonight. Have a great rest of your tour. And next week.
Next week. And we hope you guys have a great rest of your week and stay inappropriately happy and inappropriately positive despite the challenges that face us all. Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you...
Osiris.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.